Well, good morning, everybody. It is good to see you guys here, to see a lot of us participating in Sunday school. Sad that I couldn't make it this morning, but glad that that is alive and going well. I've got a couple of updates for us. By the way, my name's Ben. If we haven't met before, I'm one of the pastors here. It is good to worship together with you and just to be worshiping God. Any day, but this day in particular, any chance we get to worship God, that's where we want to be, that's what we want to be doing, and we're glad that we can today. I wanted to give you a couple of updates on things that we as a community have been praying for. I was texting back and forth with Lauren today. Things are going all right with him as long as he, Lauren DeBurr, as long as he stays on his oxygen, so he is doing well. We trust that, Lauren, you're joining us this way in some way online, and we're eager for you to be off that oxygen tether, but he is doing all right. Danny Maxson and Jeff Maxson are at home with the boys today, with Jakey, who tested positive last week. He has been asymptomatic the whole time, and so for COVID, he has been asymptomatic this whole time, and so we are praising God that he's doing okay and that they're doing okay. She said they are eager to get out of the house. The two boys are raring to go, and so we're hopeful that that gets to happen soon. Also wanted to mention Travis Jost is back in Kansas. Ken and Ann, you guys told me, is he in Heston with Dale and Shirley? His folks, he is in Heston right now. Travis was in Burundi in Africa and had essentially a mini stroke. There was some difficulty getting him to Nairobi, Kenya to get to a hospital, and then there was a little bit of difficulty getting him back to the States, but he was able to make that journey and is with his folks. Please be praying for him. Sometimes we pray for people and we pray to the point of where they kind of get through things. They, you know, get over the biggest hurdle that it seems like to us that they have, but sometimes it's the after, the waiting that is most difficult. So please keep praying for Travis, keep praying for Caitlin, too. She is. We are waiting on her test results to see if she is going to be listed for a heart transplant. We'll know at some point this week, and we are hopeful God is helping the right things to happen, and we don't exactly know what that is, but we trust. So be praying for her as well. Well, hey, we are in our second week of our series that I'm calling Renew, relearning the things that we already knew and inviting God to renew our hearts and our minds with what he has to say to us, with what God has to teach us, because the renewal process is always going on. We are always being called, being invited to go deeper and deeper with God. That never ends in our life. And last week, we were talking about how Jesus saves us, that we always want to start with Jesus. We're told that he is the author and perfecter of our faith, but also it's Jesus. Jesus is the reason we are here, that we're called Christians. We're Christ followers, Jesus-looking people, or trying to be Jesus-looking people, and not in our, you know, our face or anything. We don't try and do plastic surgery to make us look like Jesus. We want to live lives that look like Jesus. And we talked last week about Jesus saving us and how Jesus came to earth to save us, and how that changes everything. But it's also worth talking about what Jesus saves us from. Why Jesus needed to come. And often in the church, we call that sin. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about sin today. This is not a, crazy guilt-ridden sermon. So please, often we talk about sin and we talk about guilt and shame, and those are absolutely parts of it. But this is not meant to be guilting or shaming anyone. We just want to talk about, we want to ask God to help reveal anything in our lives that is preventing us from following him. And when we talk about sin, Often we talk about sin as something personal, as something that we personally do. Our personal choices or personal mistakes, because a mistake is what sin is. It's a mistake. It's not doing things the way that God designed us to do them. It's not following Jesus' path. It's not doing things well. The ancient Hebrews, I think I've told this many times here, but they talk about it in kind of archery or slingshot terms, missing the mark, missing the target, messing up what we should have been doing. And my guess is that it is not news to you that we see a lot of sin in the world today. Is that news to anyone? No one? No one is shocked. Nathan, you're not quite shocked? Okay. No one is surprised by this, right? We understand instinctively that things are messed up, that life is not how it should be, that there is sin, but it's not just sin in the world out there, it's here too. It's in us as well, that we as Christians, just because we are following Jesus, we are not somehow immune to sin, because we recognize we all have sinned. I believe it's the Apostle Paul who said, each and every one of us have all fallen short of the glory of God. That we have all sinned, that we have all fallen short, we have all made mistakes, have messed up. You have, I have. And that might sound harsh, but that is the reality, that we all make mistakes, that we can use this word, we are all sinners, that we have all sinned, and that we as Christians are not exceptions to that rule. And because of that, and because of how Jesus has forgiven us, we as Christians, we should be known for being the most loving and gracious and merciful people around, because we recognize that we are sinners too, but praise God, He has forgiven us through Jesus Christ our Lord, that we are known as a merciful, gracious people, because we know, hey, that's me too, that I've made mistakes too. But being known as that kind of people is really hard, because that goes contrary to human nature. Does anyone else have big pet peeves that you might secretly also partake in? Anyone? Yeah? We have one honest person down front. but we've got pet peeves. We all know this. Like, when I'm in a conversation with somebody, if I'm talking to Laura, and Laura were to have her phone out and, you know, just be doodling around and doing stuff. You did not do this in the office. Sorry, you are front row, and so that's all. She did not do that, I promise you. But if she were just, you know, looking around, and when people aren't fully engaged in what they're doing and they're fiddling on phones and they do stuff, it gets kind of annoying, all of that. Zooborn, they have a Tasmanian devil baby video out. Sue wants. I wonder how Caitlin's. Anyways, you get the point, though, right? We all do that. We all have those things, or at least most of us, I would guess. We've got those things that are really annoying to us, but that we also secretly do, that we partake in, and we might not even recognize it. And because we might not recognize it, we want to join what Christians have done throughout the ages, and that is to ask God to reveal what's going on in our lives, in our hearts to us, to reveal maybe even our sin to us. That we ask God, what is going on in my life? Is there something that is distracting me from you? Is there something that is preventing me from walking further down the road following you, Jesus? Is there something stopping me there? Is that something neutral, something fine that I'm just putting too much priority on? Is there a sin in my life? Is there something distracting me? And we want to ask God to reveal that to us. Because most of us, my guess, most of us know some sin in our lives that we are working on in some fashion. You know, anger, jealousy, greed, lust, desiring power, arrogance, pride. There are things, whether it's a little tiny version of that or whether it's full grown, we know that there is something in our lives that we as Christians are working on because we want to be more and more like Jesus. That is what it means to be Christians, is to be more and more like Jesus, to follow after Him, proclaiming He is Lord and having Him transform our lives. My guess is that most of us recognize something out of that list or of the many other lists that are in the New Testament. Brawling is in there, by the way. I don't think that counts for football. Eli's not here. I know he didn't have his first game yet, but he's getting close. Carson had his first football game. I don't think brawling is considered, football's not the same as brawling, but brawling is in that list of things. Like, we know that there are many lists in the Old Testament of sins, of things that we don't want to do, that we don't want to participate with. And whether it's one of those that I just mentioned or one of a countless others, we can sometimes recognize that there are things that we don't want to participate with. Those are ones that we're aware of. But often how sin works is that it's hidden, that we're not aware of it. Because sometimes our sin is not a personal thing that we do. Maybe that's not even the best way of saying it. It's not. It might not be considered what we would call personal sin. It's something that's called communal sin. The prophets in the Old Testament, they talk about this time and time again. Not that one person was doing this or this group over here is doing this, but that a whole community is participating in this sin. They talked about how the people of Israel, because that was the prophets, that was the group of people the prophets most often went to in the Old Testament, talked about how the people of Israel didn't take care of orphans or widows or foreigners or people that were in need of things, how they didn't pursue true justice, how they only looked out for themselves, their group, their family, instead of everyone else. And kind of what it all boiled down to is they didn't want to do things God's way. They wanted to do it their own way. Their priority was for themselves, not for God. And those more communal type of sins are no less sins than personal sins that we talked about. But often they're harder to see because they're the normal. They're what everybody does. It's like a fish trying to see water. A fish can't see water. It's just what it exists in. It's what it swims in. We all have blind spots, whether it's to our personal sin, something that remains hidden from us, or whether it's from sin that we as a culture participate in. We have blind spots, but we know that God doesn't. And we know that sin is not the way that God wants us to live life, does not want us to be. And we hear that in our passage today. So I'm going to invite you, we're going to spend a couple of minutes in 1 John chapter 3. If you'd like to get out your Bibles, I think for many of you there are Bibles in front of you if you'd like a physical copy, or you can get there on your phone. But 1 John, so towards the end of the Bible, not the Gospel John, 1 John chapter 3, we're going to start at verse 4. There we go. Let me read it as 4. 4 through 6. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in Him. Anyone who continues to live in Him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know Him or understand who He is. That's pretty aggressive of John there. That anyone who continues to live in Him, in Jesus, will not sin. And I don't know about you, that feels rough to me because if I look over my life in the last year, there are ways that I've fallen short of God's design for my life, that I have not lived life fully like He has wanted to. And my guess is that all of us here could say that. I once heard of a professor that was convinced that he had not sinned since he had become a Jesus follower. And I remember thinking, wonder about that. That's a very proud statement right there, maybe. Not one of our professors at Fresno Pacific, I promise you. They're all humble and wonderful and so Jesus-like. But if we look at this passage on face value, if we look at this, we have to ask, if we keep on sinning, if we sin even though we are following Jesus, are we in trouble? Are we no longer Christians? Have we unchristianized ourselves because we messed up? And there are people that believe us. There are Christian traditions that believe this, that believe that if you... somebody cuts you off in traffic and you yell angrily at them with anger in your heart and get in an accident and die, then you are in trouble at that moment because you did not repent of that sin immediately. There are Christians who would believe that, who would think that way. And this passage might seem like it, but I want us to jump down to verse 9. I think that helps us out a little bit. Let's go down to verse 9. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. For those of us that are believers, are Jesus followers, we recognize that our lives aren't perfect. And if we think they are, I might humbly suggest we should re-examine them again. And we should ask God to reveal what He is doing in us, to reveal our sin. Because it's my conviction that none of us are perfect. If we are, Jesus wouldn't have needed to come. But we do need Him. We recognize that we sin, but God calls us to better. God calls us, invites us to better lives, to life that is looking like Jesus, and that's the best way that we can live. That's the best way for us, for our family, for our world. That is the way that we have been invited, and God convicts us when we sin because we have God's life in us so that we don't keep on sinning, that God convicts us, that God would reveal to us what we need. And so I just want to take a little bit of time this morning to ask God to reveal our sins to us so that we don't keep on sinning, so that we don't fall short. We're going to read a short confession statement at the end, but for right now, I just want us to have a moment of silence. I've got my clock on. I promise it won't be more than a minute, but I'm just going to ask us to bow our heads and pray. And so I'm going to invite you right now. Let's bow our heads and let's sit in silence. Let's ask God what might be holding us back. What might be holding us back from taking a step closer to Him, to doing what Jesus wants us to do. So let's just sit for a moment in silence and ask God to reveal this to us. Let's all read this together. This is a confession that many believers pray every week. But let's read it together as an act of confession. If God revealed something to you, even if not, let's read and let's participate in this together, because our God can reveal what is holding us back from Him. Let's read all out loud. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved You with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in Your will and walk in Your ways, to the glory of Your name. Amen. We all recognize that we need forgiveness. We have all messed up. We have all fallen short. But we don't need to feel guilt. We don't need to be shamed. We don't need to have, us finger wagging at each other. What we need is Jesus. That's what we need. Romans 8:39, it says this. It says, "No power in the sky above or the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Just like we ask God to reveal our sin, our flaws, our mistakes to us, just like we ask God to reveal that to us, God reveals His love for us in Jesus. And so we come here to the table. This is our communion table. We haven't used it very often lately with the pandemic and all that has been going on, but we're going to take communion today, because this is a table of love, of grace, of mercy, of forgiveness, of blessing that each and every one of us need. And communion is a time where we can contend with our spirit, where we can ask God, "God, would You reveal in us what is wrong? And God, would You forgive us? Would You forgive me of what is going on in my life that is distracting me from following You?" It's a table where we remember that we have mistakes, we have flaws, that we need Jesus, but that those flaws don't define us, that those mistakes don't own us, that Jesus does. That if you call Jesus Lord, you are forgiven and you are invited to come and participate at this table and to follow Him. So if you call Jesus Lord, we invite you to take communion with us. If you don't have your what we call the communion elements, if you didn't pick them on your way in, you can just raise your hand. Our ushers will bring them your way. Looks like Patrick back there. Sorry to call you out, Patrick. He was here working before all of us. But communion is a time where we can celebrate that we are forgiven, that God has revealed His love to us. Thank You. That God has revealed His love for each and every one of us in Jesus, and that we are invited to follow Him. So if you are at home, I'd invite you to get your elements out right now. If you came by the office and picked one of these up, or if you just have water and some crackers around, the elements are not what is most important. Jesus is. We practice an open communion, meaning if you say you belong to Jesus, if you are a follower of His, you are welcome to participate with us. We take this bread and this cup because of what Jesus did for us. That even though we were sinners, even though that we had messed up our life, Jesus came to forgive us. And so let's take communion together. I'm going to pray as we prepare to take the bread. God Almighty, we know that when we take communion, when we do this act, the act itself is not what is important. It is what you did, and this is the way that we remember it. We do this because you said, do this, take this bread, take this cup in remembrance of me. And so we do, Lord. We remember you. We remember that you needed to come to forgive us of our sins, that your body was broken for us, that you forgave. Lord, help us remember you as we take this together. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, reveal our faults. Help us follow you. Let's take together. Let's pray again. Lord, we love you. We need you. We know that. We know that your blood was shed for us on the cross, that you saved us, that you have forgiven us. Lord, help us be like you. Help us be likewise forgiving. Help us be likewise loving. Be likewise merciful, gracious to a world that is in desperate need of you, to a world that is filled with hard things, both in the here and now with the pandemic, with what's going on in our world in Afghanistan, with earthquakes, with regime changes, with so many things, even just remembering back to horrible things that have happened in our past. We're mindful that yesterday was a significant day. It was the anniversary of 9/11, of what we would call sin, of people harming others. And we are broken that people have continued to harm others in the years that have followed. Lord, forgive us and be with us. Help us show this world your love. Help us remember you with this act, we ask and pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is my blood shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus, we know you came to earth to save us, to show us love, grace, and mercy. Help us do the same to our world. Let's take this together. Our God is merciful and just. When we confess our sins, when we recognize that we messed up, he is quick to forgive because he loves each and every one of us. May we show our world that same kind of love. Blessings to you, church family. May God reveal your heart, your life to you so that you can correct whatever sin, mistakes may be in your life, but so much more so that you would be able to follow him. Blessings to you, church family. Go in peace.